have the story of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, and since Steve told it so well, I'll just be reading the end of that story from the 24th chapter of Luke, beginning here with the 28th verse. And the disciples, of course, are unaware who this stranger is who is explaining to them why it is that the Messiah, the Christ, should suffer and die and then rise again. So hear the word of God. As the two disciples and the stranger came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead, the stranger, walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told them what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Moments of truth. They come in mystery stories, you know. It's the end of the hour or the last chapter of the book, and the rumpled detective or the you know, monk or whoever the hero of the story is puts together the final clues, and at last reveals the guilty party. Whether it's John Grisham or Nancy Drew, you know what really happened at last. You realize who the people really are in this story. Moments of truth. Movies are full of them. It's the end of The Wizard of Oz. You find out the wizard is not a wizard at all, and you also find out that the Cowardly Lion and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man are three of the best friends anybody could ever have. It's the end of Casablanca, and Rick, the world-weary bartender, has finally found something to live for. And surprisingly, to him anyway, it's not just the woman of his dreams. And speaking of dreams, at the end of Field of Dreams, Ray Kinsella finds out he's built this crazy ballpark in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa, not so much so Shoeless Joe Jackson can come back and play baseball, but so he can reconcile with his father, long dead, magically, mysteriously, powerfully. It's a moment of truth where you realize at last what's been happening, but even more you realize who people really are. The Bible is full of moments of truth. Adam and Eve hear the voice of God walking in the Garden of Eden, and they suddenly are aware of the shame of what they've done. The psalmist looks up into the sky and looks at the stars, and all he can think of is, how amazing is it that this universe is so vast, and yet, Lord, you care for me? And how many times did Jesus open the eyes of troubled men and women to see the pain of their own condition? And how often does he lift their eyes beyond that to the grace and the freedom that will lift them out of it? Zacchaeus, the woman who washes Jesus' feet with her hair, the father who cries out, "I believe, help my unbelief," so on and so on. All moments of truth where these people realize for the first time what's happening and who it is that's speaking to them. Well, today we read about a moment of truth on Easter night. Jesus' body has disappeared. Rumors abound. Could he possibly be risen? Who could believe such a thing? And yet, this is no ordinary man they're talking about. Could this be true? And the stranger who's walking along the road with these two disciples assures them, yes, it is true. They don't know who it is, of course, but nonetheless, they treat him with the hospitality that is accorded to strangers who are traveling in the desert according to Old Testament law. They invite him into their home in Emmaus because it's dark, it's night, and How can anyone be safe out in the wilderness of a desert? So they're having in to share the evening meal, and that becomes the moment of truth when the bread is broken, when it is handed to the two disciples, and they realize that it's the stranger. It's the stranger who's not a stranger. They realize who this really is and what's really been happening to them. And you have to wonder if they would ever gather around a table again without remembering that night. Would they ever meet a stranger without wondering, who is this stranger really? Would they ever break bread again without thinking that in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of it, just maybe Jesus is right there with them still? Think about moments of truth in your own life. Moments when you've recognized who you really are, or when you recognize who God is. That's what the Bible is all about, really. The Bible doesn't so much tell you what to do, and there are parts of it that do. You know, they're pretty instructive that way, sure. But really, the Bible isn't about telling you what to do or what to think or what to say. The Bible is about telling you who you are and who God is and what's the connection between the two of you. The moment you know that, the moment you see that, is a moment of truth. So think about moments of truth in your life where you see who you are. Sometimes it's not all that much fun. Like when you happen to hear the sound of your voice coming out of your mouth, the things that you're saying, the way that you're saying it, and you hear that familiar tone of condescension that you heard your father use toward you as a child, and there it is coming out of your own mouth. You swore you would never say that, and there it is. Sometimes it can be a bit frightening, as in awe-inspiring, like when you hear your infant cry, the sound of that first little crying for the first time, and you realize how you can love someone more than you had ever dreamed, and in the loving of them, it makes you completely and entirely vulnerable in a whole different way. Frightening and awe-inspiring. And sometimes it's great. Like when someone, a teacher, or a coach, somebody else's parent, or maybe even your own, pulls you aside and says two sentences maybe of encouragement, two sentences of affirmation, two sentences that say someone believes in you. Someone thinks you're really something. And maybe you believe in yourself for the first time because of that. Think about moments of truth in your life where you think about who God is. Those moments tell you something about yourself too, usually. Like when you're gazing up at the stars and you realize all at one and the same time how tiny and insignificant you are, and yet how amazing it is that God should love you as though, as Augustine said, there's only one of you to love. Like when you've done something you wish you hadn't, maybe, and while you can't quite forgive yourself, somehow you feel God does forgive you, and it gives you hope maybe you'll be able to let go of it too someday. Like when you realize that all your responsibilities have overwhelmed you, whatever they are, all the hats you wear, all the roles that you play. And you see, all those hats you wear, the roles you play, they're actually a calling from God to be a father or a mother, to be a coach or a teacher, to be an encourager, to be a companion, a friend. They're all, maybe God's calling you to be exactly where you are right now. Or maybe when you sit down at the table and you taste freshly baked bread. I mean, how good is that? Freshly baked bread. The smell of it, the texture of it, the warmth of it, the taste of it. Or maybe you come in from some outdoor task, as we soon will be now that the weather has turned, sweating from mowing the lawn or whatever it is, and you go to the fridge and there's nothing to drink there except cold water, but boy, does that cold water taste good. And in the eating of the bread, the drinking of the water, you realize the whole world is good, that everything is a gift from God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you think about all these moments and you realize that sometimes the moment of truth isn't the big moment that you expected, but it's the little moment. All the little moments that happen when you're waiting for something else, usually. It's the little choices, the little realizations, the little revelations that matter. It's the little voices that you might have missed if you'd been looking somewhere else, but thank God you weren't. So for some reason you were watching, for some reason you were paying attention in that moment. And that tells you the truth about who you are and to whom you belong. In a moment, we'll be coming forward to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It is, of course, a piece of bread and a thimble full of juice. It is, of course, the very peace and presence of Christ. If you're looking for it, as you come forward, we'll take water from the baptismal font. We'll make the sign of the cross upon your forehead. It is, of course, common, ordinary, everyday water. It is, of course, the sign of life and the power of forgiveness. If you're looking for it, maybe you're not looking for a moment of truth. Maybe you're not looking for a peace and a presence from beyond ourselves. Maybe you're not looking for a sign of life or forgiveness or anything else for that matter, but maybe today you are. Maybe you are. Maybe this is one of those times where you're seeing yourself real. Maybe it's one of those times when you're seeing something of God in what's going on around you. Think about maybe just how precious you really are to the one who made all things. Just maybe today is that water, that common, ordinary, everyday, holy water drips down the ridge of your nose. You will know deep in your bones, who you are as the son or daughter of the living God. Just maybe today as you take the bread, common, ordinary, everyday, holy food, you will sense deep in your spirit the power and the peace and the presence of Christ. Just maybe today will be a moment of truth for you. As Jesus so often said, those who have eyes, let them see. Let all God's people say, Amen. I invite all who are able now to rise.